Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. We thank you for joining us. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico.
Hi, good evening, everyone. This is Lori Picka in Michigan. I hope everyone is doing well, and weather here is pretty ugly. Cold,
yes.
Snowy, winter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, freezing here as well. It's in the 30s, but tomorrow it's going to be, what, 15 degrees? Yep. So I'm not looking forward to that. It's supposed to be snowing later on as well. So this is season 6, episode 24. Topic is elect GOP clowns, expect the circus. It is Thursday, January 11th, 2024. So a lot has been going on politically as former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie officially drops out of the race for the 2024 GOP presidential nomination. Former UN Ambassador Nikki Haley and Florida Governor Ron DeSantis will compete for a distant second place as Donald Trump leads by double digits in Iowa. It's pure comedy gold. And speaking of comedy gold, what's going on in the Michigan Democratic Party? Besides having $10,000 in their bank account, what's up with the physical altercations and scraps between public figures? It's beyond disgraceful and pretty pathetic. Hunter Biden showed up on Capitol Hill and was willing to sit and talk to the relevant House committees, but alas, they wanted it to be held behind closed doors. Were they so afraid of making it public, a public hearing, so the world can see and hear, then draw their own conclusions? Because they have nothing. They want to impeach President Joe Biden, but on what grounds? They have nothing there either. They're press past nothing of substance and grabbing at straws. The GOP majority-led House is the least productive in the history of U.S. Congress. Isn't it time to vote them out? Republicans have proven repeatedly that they cannot govern. They are acting like petulant children who throw tantrums when they don't get their own way. It's embarrassing. Jack Smith has slapped Trump with 37 indictments for lying, obstruction of justice, and stealing government property as it relates to the top secret documents. The trial starts March 5th. Thank you for sharing across social media. Call us at 515-605-9802. Say your first name and where you're calling from and visit kitchenpolitics123.com. This is Kitchen Politics 123 Radio Show. We're not anti-social, just anti-stupid. Let's get cooking. So Chris Christie is out of the race.
Mm-hmm. He is. He announced last night. He went on in New Hampshire at a New Hampshire town hall. He said that he had come to the conclusion that there was no pathway to victory for him.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what he said. And I, like I have said in the past, I'm not a Chris Christie fan, but I do appreciate that his mission in running for president was to, you know, to bring out the truth about the Orange Monster. And he did keep his word to do that. He did, you know, try to explain what he did, you know, all around the country when he traveled, but it just obviously it wasn't enough. So he decided to sit down. And he went on to say, and I quote, "Campaigns are run to win. That's why we do them," he said. "It's clear to me tonight that there isn't a path for me to win the nomination."
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what else can you really say? And he did say also that he was going to continue to do whatever he could. This is what he said. I'll just say it. "My goal has never been to be just a voice against the hate and division of the selfishness of what our party has become under Donald Trump, he added, vowing to continue to warn the party and the country about the dangers of a second Trump term. I'm going to make sure that in no way do I enable Donald Trump to ever be president of the United States again. And that's more important than my own personal ambition. So I have to give him credit for that. I truly do. So, you know, we can give him a, you know, a star for that. And I guess I don't dislike him as much as I did before this, but at least he has the guts to, as a Republican, to stand out and say how destructive Donald Trump is, how destructive he will be, destructive and horrid he is. So I give kudos for that.
Yes, yes, yes. Yep, and nobody else in the primary race speaking out against Donald Trump. They're all kissing up to him, which is just very disgraceful and disheartening. And most crystal voters would back Nikki Haley as second choice, 65%, according to a University of New Hampshire poll done in January. It's a minus, how much? Minus or plus 7.1. So Chris spoke on Hot Mic after suspending his campaign, saying that Nikki Haley was a toast, meaning she's going to go up one-on-one against Trump and DeSantis, and they would get together and probably, you know, batter her and bully her and what have you. And, you know, moments before he announced that he would be suspending this presidential campaign event in New Hampshire, that's what happened. You know, so in this three-way race between Trump, who's leading by double digits, and DeSantis, who nobody likes, literally nobody likes him. We know Trump may win Iowa and New Hampshire, but with these legal cases going on, do you still think it's going to blow the wind out of his sails, or does he get stronger and stronger every day as the campaign goes on?
Are you asking me?
Yes, yes.
It's hard to say. I mean, I guess my frustration is that we are in Trump overload with his four that are coming up, with the 91 counts, with constant, you know, social media posts and the little blips that he puts out there and the interviews. And we are saturated by this orange monster. And for that reason, I feel that the Biden campaign is being it's being suffocated. And that is horrifying to me. It's scary because we need Joe Biden out there and his supporters out there every single day talking about what he's done, what he's going to do, and check it against what Trump and his administration did and what they're going to do, like Project 2025 and be a dictator. And now he's trying to backtrack and say, oh, I can't be a dictator. Well, he's full of shit. That is his main goal in life, is to be a dictator and to have everyone under his thumb. That is his main goal in life. So I guess what I want is for the media to take a breath, even a day or 2 days or something, and just give Joe Biden some kind of press, you know, some kind of positive. That's all I'm asking for. And, you know, it doesn't get done. It just doesn't get done. So how do we accomplish that?
I don't know. It's just me that have to, you know, keep covering Joe Biden and say what his accomplishments have been for the past, you know, 4 years. I haven't been doing that, you know, and we have to look at who owns media. and the media houses and everything. They love to spew liberal media, but there's no such thing as a liberal media. And, you know, Christie dropped out in a town hall meeting in Windham, New Hampshire. And, you know, he never stood a chance, basically, even though he's like the most level-headed one there. He didn't stand a chance because the Republican Party has gotten so toxic and so hateful that, you know, there's no space in the Republican Party for actual dialogue and communication and you know, a plan, basically. It's just like, you know, toxic BS, basically, and Trumpism and the hate and the vileness and the viciousness and everything, you know. So, you know, good luck to Chris Christie.
Yeah. But am I the only one feeling the frustration? I mean, do you feel the frustration, David? I mean, am I the only one
definitely.
That feels... I mean, this orange monster overload every single day? It's appalling. It's appalling. You know, and even today, you know, with his New York trial, I guess it's up to 370 million now. I wish it was 500 million. I wish it was 100 million. Who cares? You know, it's ridiculous. And,
yes,
you know, he
is.
Gets full day of coverage for that, a full day.
Yeah, we're just days away from the Iowa caucus and Trump. Has 49%, Haley 12%, DeSantis 11%, and Vivek Ramaswamy is 2%.
I know.
The undecided and don't know is 22%. You know, so, you know, Trump will win it. Everybody expects Trump to win it because the Republican Party and the voters have no backbone. So, you know, just have to believe that the media will do the right thing and tout Joe Biden's successes and, you know, tell their audience why it's wrong for Trump to be president. Again, we saw how a disaster, what a disaster he was in his 4 years, you know, and then he came out, like you say, on Sean Hannity and different programs saying from day one he'd be a dictator. Even if you were joking, you don't joke about something like that. We saw what happened in January 6th, and already he's feeding the thing that if he loses, then it was a setup and it was stolen, what have you. You know, so January 6th, 2021 was a dry run. I fear that it's going to be worse, you know, come when certification time comes. Because Ellen Stefanovic from New York, the congresswoman, number three in the GOP House, so that, you know, she don't think she'll certify the election if Donald Trump loses. I mean, come on, no.
I heard that,
you know?
I heard that. It's ridiculous. It's just going to be. But the thing is, in Iowa now, this, you know, might be something to think about. They're going to have brutal weather. It's going to be coldest since it's been in the, I think, in the 70s. Frigid, minus 2 degrees forecast on Monday. That's the high for minus 2 degrees. And then with the wind factor in and the evening, it's even going to be colder. So, you know, will that maybe, you know, keep some people home because they think, you know, it's cold, the roads are icy, there's a lot of snow. You know, it's windy. It's dangerous to drive kind of weather as well. And some of these polling, they said, are 20, 30 miles away from their homes. They're not around, not right around the corner anymore, you know. So do you think, David, that might, the weather might be a blessing for Democrats, you know, for us? Maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, probably, more than likely. You know, because when you look at it, Iowa has always, you know, been wrong in picking presidential winners in terms of who get a nomination. So this is just like a first of the nation poll, and, you know, it's just tradition. And for years now, the tradition has been wrong, you know. So, you know, you just have to take Iowa caucus with a grain of salt and not really take it too seriously. You know, New Hampshire is a different story. That's an actual primary where you get delegates and what have you. You know, so, you know, anything after the New Hampshire primary, Super Tuesday is always huge. You know, I'm expecting either Nikki Haley or DeSantis to drop out, or hopefully Trump, because the amount of legal trouble he's going through and everything. That would be great for America and for the world. And he's not going to do it, you know.
Never. Mm-hmm. He'll die first before he jumps.
Yeah,
he
thinks that running will save him from going to prison.
Of course.
You know, but,
that's
yeah,
the
yeah. And, you know, what I
reason,
fear, though, what
go
I
ahead.
Fear, though, is that he's gotten away with so many things, you know, that, like, a slap on the wrist here, a talking down to by the judge there, you know, it was Joe Schmo, you know, they've been jailed for contempt of court and what have you. But no, he's a former president, so he gets special treatment. And that's not right. That's a two-tier justice system. It's frustrating for the regular average person looking, you know?
Yeah, you're right.
Take the
case in New York.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that judge, when he first started, I think it's, I can't think of his name right now. It starts with the EUB. Anyway, when I first saw him, I thought, boy, this judge is going to be tough on Trump. I mean, I really felt like he had put the hammer down on him. But it turns out, in my opinion, it was just warning after warning after warning. And he even got a bomb scare. The judge got a bomb scare today. Before the hearing, before, you know, the closing argument today, he even got a bomb scare at his home. And you would think that, you know, that this judge would just be solid as far as, you know, this is how it's going to be and just be rigid and this is how it is and just, you know, rule with an iron, you know, fist. But he at the end, when they had the closing argument, he basically, because the lawyer said, will you please let Trump say a few words? And the judge said to him, well, yesterday I gave you plenty of time, played you plenty of chances by email, and you never responded, you know. And he made up some stupid, of course. And then all of a sudden, Trump starts talking, just start rambling, you know. And then the judge had to shut him down, you know, and tell him that, you know, this was not a rally. But I'm just saying, this is the kind of stuff where he should have just took that mallet and smacked it down and said, look, shut your mouth now or you're going to prison overnight. That's it. I mean, this is what they need to do to this man. But they don't. They don't. So did they learn anything from this? I don't know. Did any of the other judges or that are going to have the other trials, have they learned from any of this? I hope so. I really certainly hope so, because he's a clown in a circus all the time, you know.
The ringleader, the damn ringleader. Frustrate everybody.
Exactly.
So Nikki Haley,
you know,
Nikki Haley responded and called Chris Christie a friend for many years and commended him on a hard-fought campaign. Governor DeSantis on Twitter agreed with Chris Christie when the hot mic thing happened, where he said Haley would get smoked, you know. So Christie dropout comes as a surprise, given the former governor had staked his campaign on New Hampshire, first of the nation primary. So he's not even going to make it to the primary in New Hampshire, which is less than 2 weeks away. He had insisted as recent as last week, Tuesday night, that he had no plans to leave the race, continuing to cast himself as the only candidate willing to tell the truth and directly take on Donald Trump. You know, so I guess, you know, the writing was on the wall, basically, because, like I said, the Republican Party is toxic, and they don't really have leaders with conviction. You know, they just go where the winds blow and everything. And the base of the Republican Party is not too educated or bright to begin with. So they go off vitriol and hate and sexism and, you know, being, you know, speaking rhetorical violence and what have you, you know. And America's sick of that, you know, whether it's against immigrants, you know, the level of the Ku Klux Klan, for example, the neo-Nazis and the militias, state militias, have grown by 120% or more, depending on which state you visit, you know, since Joe Biden has become president. And the fear-mongering that Trump and company does, saying, oh, the illegal immigrants coming to take away jobs, you know, and those, you know, who get jobs in Florida and wherever, you know, like for construction, for picking fruit, you know, the menial tasks, you know, like cleaning the hotel room and what have you. Any regular American going there and the jobs like that? No, so nobody's taking a job. And on another flip side of the coin, they're saying things like, oh, you know, illegal immigrants getting welfare, which is a load of garbage because, you know, you need a green card as an immigrant to get such, you know, like, you need to get benefits, you know? So without a social security card as an illegal alien, you can't get benefits, you can't get social security, you can't get Medicare, Medicaid, whatever. So, you know, they're trying to talk on both sides of the mouth, these Republican supporters who vote Republican. And Trump pushing and adding fire to the fuel, he says nonsense like this, you know, and you can't expect better from losers who vote for Donald Trump or even support Donald Trump. So, folks, call in. The number is 515-605-9802. Say your first name, where you're calling from. Hello, welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. What's cooking?
I don't hear anybody else answering, so it must be me.
Hello, Elaine.
You had talked about overload on Trump. I would acquaint what we're going through at summertime, and you've got all the doors and windows open, and all of a sudden a breeze comes through, and that's called a draft. Right now we're all sitting in a draft. We're waiting for some of these doors and some of these windows to close. And what I mean by that is I think this first case in New York will start the doors closing. I wouldn't chastise the judge too much. You know, every time Trump opens his big mouth, he puts a great big fat foot in it. He doesn't put his little hands in it. He puts his big fat foot in it. So he puts his big fat foot in his mouth. And I'm sure with the way he ranted today, there's been some talk about it, but I didn't want, I needed a break, so I didn't watch anything today. But I caught a little tail end before the program that some of the remarks he made were derogatory towards the people or the entities that he owed money to. So, you know, I guess the judge figured the guy's going to rant anyways. Might as well let him rant.
He didn't let him rant that much,
but he let Trump, you know, yada, yada, yada. And as he was yada, 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 and he was putting his foot in his mouth. So we can look at it that way. So I'm trying to look the last few days at the glass being half full.
His supporters hear him and they feel sorry for him. They think he's a martyr. He talks like he's a martyr. You know, like the whole world, you know, everyone's against him, you know, and it's you know, everyone's against me because I'm rich and I'm powerful and I'm running for president. And they're all, you know, he's acting like a martyr. And he even goes as far as to say is, you know, he's running for president for the people, to save the people in this country. That's what he says he's doing, which is a bunch of bullshit, okay? And there are the Trump supporters that will bow down to that kind of talk because they think, oh, my goodness, he's a martyr. We have to save him. You know, I mean, the threats that all these judges are getting, the clerks are getting, you know, all these congressmen and senators and, you know, Eric Swalwell, his family. I mean, it's ridiculous. And it's
escalating. The ones I don't understand is the ones in Washington, the ones who have been there. I'm not talking about the Marjorie Taylor Greens and the Lauren, how do you pronounce her?
Boebert.
I'm not talking about those newbies, and I'm not talking about Jumbo Jim Jordan and Gates. You know, those are new clowns on this on the scene. Right. I'm talking about the ones that have been there. I don't understand. Well, yeah, maybe I do. They let the Republican Party go to hell. They knew it was coming down in the 80s.
Yeah.
The other day, Liz Cheney was on, in fact, yesterday, Liz Cheney was on The View, and I don't agree with any of her politics, but, you know, not everybody's all bad either, except for Trump. She said that it's going to be a new Republican Party. There's no other way around it. So, I mean, if there is another Republican Party, it's going to probably be a different name, and it's going to be a different so-called conservative venue.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we've got a lot that we should have learned from this. We've kept our mouths shut too long. Now we're fighting back. And this could be a lot of reason why it sounds like it's redundant. I think that us who want to see him out and we don't want our democracy destroyed, we're the ones now that are pushing. And we're tired, but we're going to keep on pushing. I really think that's what we're seeing, Lori.
Yes,
we take a couple days off, we recharge, and what do? We're out there pushing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you don't want your health care taken away from you. You don't want Medicare taken away from you. You don't want your Social Security cut. You know, you want to be able to eat and pay your bills and work. You know, these people do not care. You know, Trump does not care about anyone. I believe that he would turn his back on his own children if it gained him anything. If it kept him out of prison, let them go to prison. I believe that with all my heart. That's how evil I feel that he is. You know, and some people call him the, I don't know, what is that in the Bible where it's like the end of the world?
Messiah.
What do they call that? Huh?
Messiah.
Yeah, or not a Messiah, but he is like the Antichrist. Is that what it is? The Antichrist?
Yeah, Antichrist.
I mean, I mean, some people even think he's the Antichrist, for God's sake. I mean, no, he's just a man that's running away from his whole life of screwing people, taking money from them, not paying them, you know, getting other people to do his dirty work because he's a great con man. If I could say one thing that I think he's great at is being a con man. He's probably the best con man that I've ever seen in my life, truthfully. But
look at the character of his attorney, Elena. She just worships him, but she's cut from the same cloth. Her and her husband owe all kinds of money for all kinds of
$1 million.
For all kinds of illegal crap. So, of course, she's going to idolize him because he's telling her this is the way it's done, baby. And she says, yeah, you got it because, you know, you and I are, we're gonna cheat and screw the world.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
And, you know, a lot of his followers are cut off the same cloth.
Yes, of course they are. There's no doubt about it. I mean, you have to be that ruthless and hateful and have so much hate in your heart and not have a heart, I should say, you know, and be able to get up every day and look at yourself in the mirror and lie to yourself every single day, looking at yourself, knowing that you lie every single day of your life just to get through your day. That's amazing. It's exhausting, you know.
Well, I guess when you start on that path, one lie leads to another. So,
yeah.
I mean, I think it's a noble thing that Trump is doing by being so untruthful, and I think it's funny, you know. And no matter what, he could actually go on Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody dead, and they'd still vote for him because these people are losers. They're uneducated. They're hateful.
Yeah.
They're vengeful. They're spiteful. They don't like women progressing. They'd rather women barefoot and pregnant. They don't want, you know, immigrants coming into the country. If they're white, yeah, sure, come on in. But if you're black or brown, then to hell with you, stay in your own country. You know, this is how these people think. And especially in the South and the Bible Belt where, you know, they're still having hard feelings about the Civil War and they're worshiping this Confederate flag saying it's heritage. It's not heritage, it's racism. You know, to feed off racism and everything ignorant and hateful, you know. And we have a long way to go in this country, you know, to really stamp out things like that. You know, the anti-LGBTQ, the anti-everybody who's not like them or don't look like them. And it's sad. Because America's the greatest country in the world. And, you know, what is this? This is the 21st century. You know, Europe has evolved somewhat. Other places in the world has evolved, so why not America? We're stuck back in the 1860s, and even before that. It's sad.
Yes, because we have a group of people that want it that way. We have a group of people right now that want it that way. And, you know, the right-wing media is just as bad. I mean, Fox had Trump on last night for a so-called town hall, and... You know, I saw snips of it because I could not watch it. But the questions that they asked him were nothing. They were nothing burgers. You know, so Fox must be hurting or something, or they need, I don't know, do they need people to watch Fox News? I don't know. I mean, it's ridiculous. You know, he couldn't be on the stage.
Another thing, they don't want to lose their base.
Yeah.
It's all about greed. They don't want to lose their base.
It's just a shame. It's a shame that this country has come to this point. And it's only taken, in my eyes, to sink this low a few years. And, I mean, it's been a few long years, but it's taken only a few years. So, my God, how low will we go if this man finds a way to get into office? We won't lose this
thing. No, it started way before that. It's just that I think social media accelerated it. It started back in the 80s, that the late 70s, the early 80s, this started slowly. This Republican Party was on its way down in the 80s. And they weren't forceful enough to take their party back. Now their party's gone. They're going to have to take and make their own party.
Yeah, they're just, you know, it's just a shame, you know, Mitt Romney. I mean, I wasn't a fan of him as well, but at least Mitt Romney had, you know, he spoke out. He should have spoke out more. I mean, what did he have to lose? You know, maybe he was afraid.
Yeah, but right after the election, when Donald got in 2016, he went and kissed the ring so that his niece. So his niece would be the national chair. I mean, come on.
Yeah, that's true.
He wasn't exactly on the level either.
Yeah, you're right about that.
You know, so now he figures he'll just retire quietly so that a whole lot of people don't hate him, just a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, he could have retired a long time ago. It doesn't matter, you know.
Yeah.
He didn't. Much of a difference, in my opinion.
But, you know, you know, the last time I was talked on the show, I was real downtrodden about social media. But today, social media started showing me something a little bit different. I have never, until today, and today was an eye-opener, started seeing so many factual posts. I mean factual, not lies, not exaggerations, because I'm not going to tolerate that either. Because if you start lying, you end up digging your own hole. And I was really, really surprised. So I, you know, shared a few, of course.
Well, that's
okay,
good.
So there it is. Check this out now. Steve Bannon, he ripped into the House Republican leadership for the vote on the debt ceiling bill. And what he did to McCarthy, Steve Bannon, he's going to do to this new House Speaker, Johnson. And he may lead a coup against Johnson.
I don't think so. I've been doing a little reading on that. I think what Johnson is going to do, he's going to do what Tuberville or Tudorville did. He is going to hold the budget hostage. He's going to have side deals. And I'll bet you any money is going to be the abortion. He's going to ask for a national abortion ban. And then he'll say, all right, you don't give me a national, you watch, you don't give me a national abortion ban, nobody's going to get any money. Ukraine's going to go in the toilet, everybody's going to go in the toilet.
It's hard to know.
I really have a gut feeling on that. He's got some tricks up his sleeve, and I'm really, really concerned about it. Because that's, what, the 19th?
Yes,
I think that's the 19th.
Yeah, the deadline is the 19th midnight.
Yeah, that's not too far away.
No, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
It's,
he, you know, he's, well, let's hope that is, I want to be wrong. I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Okay, check this out. I'm not throwing negative energy out there, but suppose it's a what-if scenario. What if something were to happen to Joe Biden, God forbid, hopefully not, and we'll have to choose a new ticket for 2024? Do we have anybody that could jump in at a moment's notice and take on Trump and whoever his running mate is? You know, and who are those two people, do you think?
The governor from California is the one I'd pick.
And who would be a suitable running mate for him? Elizabeth Warren?
Michelle Obama.
Who?
Even though I know
Michelle Obama.
She won't.
But she's said over and over again for years she's not interested in running for any political office. So I guess, you know, Michelle Obama is old.
I know, but she does go out there and she does make speeches. And she did do a speech a few weeks ago saying how afraid is for our democracy in this country. I mean, she did. So think something, you know. And for her to make, you know, make a speech like that, she's thinking. I'm not saying she's thinking about running for anything, but I'm just saying she is thinking. And maybe if something were to come about, think this might be my calling. Well, I don't know.
Right.
You know, there are things that happen in life, you know.
Yeah,
I can't think of a running mate. That would be up. That'd be up to the person that would win the nomination.
Running.
I would
like
to see Gavin. He would. I think he would be fair. I think he would be. I mean, he's been. You know, I've heard him many times talk about President Biden. You know, had a debate with DeSantis. You know, and he clocked him. I mean, that was funny. You know.
Right.
But going back, I just want to go back.
I think Mr. Raskin.
He would.
He won't run because he's suffering from cancer. He's fighting cancer, you know. So, you know, he had an opportunity to run for the U.S. Senate. It's in what's the word for it?
Remission.
I mean, Raskin is a good guy, don't get me wrong, but no.
He's good where he is. I think he's good where he is. He puts a lot of heat out there, and he's a very smart man. Constitutional lawyer. He's a really smart man. Eric Swalwell, I really like him. I think he's smart. He tells it like it is, you know. I also like Pete Buttigieg. But I know that, you know, that's probably not possible, just like it's not possible right now to have a woman president. I don't think it's possible.
No, I don't either.
But do you think in the future, 2028, do you think America will be ready for a female president? in 2028.
It depends on what happens with this crazy Republican MAGA party.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
That's part of it. That's
I see Gretchen
right
Whitmer. I see Gretchen
yep.
Whitmer running for president what? One day. I see my governor
yep.
in New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
What's her name? Michelle Lujan Grisham running for president. Because
mm-hmm.
both women
mm-hmm.
have shown that they're strong. They're intelligent. You know, they run the
mm-hmm.
states very proper. You know, and they're
oh,
doing
yeah.
a damn good job. You know, compared to any
yeah.
Republican out there. You know, so Pete
oh,
Buttigieg is a consideration. Gavin Newsom is a consideration.
Yeah.
Elizabeth Warren, my favorite
yeah.
since she come in politics. She's been my favorite
I
going
love
into
her.
2028. Love that woman.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But she's getting up there
yeah.
too, David. I don't know exactly, but
mm-hmm.
I think she's,
mm-hmm.
you know, gets
mm-hmm.
up there as well, you know.
Uh-huh.
But I do love Elizabeth Warren, yes, you
mm-hmm.
know, but
mm-hmm.
I, you know, it's tough,
mm-hmm.
you know. I mean,
mm-hmm.
it really is. Look at the Republican
yeah.
Party. They have no one. If you really look
uh-huh.
at the Republican Party, they have no one. They truly
mm-hmm.
don't. You know, they
mm-hmm.
have Donald Trump, for God's sake. The orange
mm-hmm.
monster. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah.
And look at Swami.
Mm-hmm.
He's like a swamp person himself, that Swami
mm-hmm.
guy.
Mm-hmm.
I won't even call him by his right name because he's appalling.
Mm-hmm.
Only thing he's trying to do is either vice president pick or he wants to get into the administration if the orange monster
mm-hmm.
gets in
mm-hmm.
there. That's the only thing he's interested in.
Well, Swami is a con man. He is
mm-hmm.
a definite con man from the word go.
Oh, he is.
Mm-hmm.
There, you can spot him a mile away. Absolutely
mm-hmm.
right.
But you know what's scary,
I mean,
though? If Trump gets in there in 2024, you know who would
yeah.
be the CDC administrator? Robert Kennedy Jr., you know?
Oh,
and that's scary
please.
Because he's anti-vax.
Yeah.
He is
yeah.
a great environmentalist lawyer, yes, but, you know, him as head of the CDC, everything will just, like, dismantle and turn to shit, basically,
yep.
you know?
Yep.
So it cannot allow
yep.
Donald Trump to win this election.
No. Absolutely not.
Mm-mm, mm-mm, mm-mm.
I know.
Yeah, yeah. And those other independents, Marianne Williamson, she's running as an independent. The congressman from North Carolina, his name, Dean somebody, I can't remember his name just now. You know, why are they running?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they have every right to run, but
they're
siphoning votes away.
I say you can have runoffs like that if we get rid of the Electoral College. Then everybody's
yeah.
vote counts.
Yeah.
But
mm-hmm.
to have
mm-hmm.
three and four parties is it's insane. Then nobody
mm-hmm.
wins.
Mm-hmm.
David, isn't Cenk running from the Young Turks?
Yeah. Cenk Uygur, yeah,
mm-hmm.
he's running.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. But
and,
I mean,
that brown faced guy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't
from
like
a young church.
I don't
he's
like him.
Yeah,
I mean, there's
he's,
just something about him just rubs me wrong. I
mm-hmm,
really.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's an attitude or something. I think it's an attitude. To me, it's
mm-hmm.
an attitude.
He does not like. I don't think he likes Joe Biden. Is my opinion. I don't think. You
I guess
know,
Joe
I don't,
Biden
I'm
is not too
sure.
progressive for him.
Yeah,
you
know, that's what I'm saying.
He pictures Joe Biden as a progressive, as a corporate Democrat, a corporatist Democrat.
Yeah.
So that's what he's
yeah.
running.
Well,
mm-hmm.
he kind of is, but he's not horrible. You know, he's a
mm-hmm.
good president, and you know, and I think he listens. He tries to, you know, to he's brought the country forward from where we were with COVID. And, you know, so you have to, you know, we have to be realistic, too. You know, people,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I would love to see more, I would like to see someone that was, you know, more progressive and, you know, but,
mm-hmm.
I mean, what's wrong with, like, the energy, I mean, the climate change, I mean, he's done stuff with that. I mean, he's trying,
mm-hmm.
he's trying, you know, and he gets fought every step of the way from everybody. So what do you do? You know, so
right.
I want to just go back to this moment and
wait,
talk
can
about
I make this
second,
one point?
But,
can I make this one point, Laurie? Last week in the Government Oversight Committee in the House of Representatives, Marjorie Taylor Greene said that the three branches of government is the House, the Senate, and the President. You know, it's so hard to believe that she's a member of Congress because we all know the judiciary, the Senate, and the House make up three branches of government. So this woman is out of her mind and don't belong in the Congress. Boebert works, you know? So, but anyway, go ahead.
And it's funny because I'll add on to that because she also said when she is talking to Jake, this is what she was in doing talking to Steve Bannon on his show. I should I should back up. He was talking to Steve Bannon on his show, and they were talking about Johnson, and she's very upset. Bannon is upset with Johnson because you know he wants him to shut the government down. You know, and Bannon is just a, you know, you understand who he is. He's a horrible person. So
he should be in prison.
Yes, he should be. He should definitely be in prison. So he interviewed her, and this is what he said. She said, and I quote, "If I were Speaker of the House, I finished the job in the House," Green said. "I pass their appropriation bills, and then I tell Chuck Schumer in the Senate, it's your job now, buddy. You do your work, and then we'll talk. But right now, Mike Johnson is getting rolled in meeting after meeting after meeting. When he is talking to Jake Sullivan and Chuck Schumer every day and impressed with these four-corner meetings, but he's not talking to me and other important members of the Republican Conference at all, about any of the negotiations and any of the plans and exactly what we want to see done. He's failing on the job," she added. Do you honestly believe that this woman knows what anything about the budget for the United States of America?
No,
does
she's
she
dumb.
Know any, not a damn thing. She knows nothing. She is a blowhard. Can you imagine she wants a checkbook?
She's up there and she doesn't even know her lane.
No, she doesn't. She thinks that she can demand the Speaker of the House listen to her. Who the hell is she? She's a nobody. She came from nowhere. She's a nobody.
Yeah.
She's not educated. She doesn't know about the budget. What does she know about the budget? Honestly and truly, what could she know? Nothing. It just blows my mind. These people are like live on a universe. They live in a different planet, and they must come down here every day and just want to make our lives miserable.
Exactly. Okay, so Hunter Biden made a surprise appearance at the markup of the House Oversight and Accountability Committee on Wednesday. Yesterday, before the panel was set to approve a resolution to hold the president's son in contempt of Congress for defying a subpoena last month. So fireworks went off at the start of the markup when lawmakers recognized that Biden was in the hearing room. Congresswoman Nancy Mace, Republican from South Carolina, asked, quote, "Who bribed Hunter Biden to be here?" criticizing the surprise appearance. Quote, "You are the epitome of white privilege, coming in to the Oversight Committee, spitting in our face, ignoring a congressional subpoena to be deposed. What are you afraid of? You have no boss to come up here," she said, end quote. you know, wow. He came.
Wow is right.
You know, he came, unlike Jim Jordan and all those other Republicans who didn't come for the January 6th deposition when it got subpoenaed. So who is she to say that? And, you know, she added, quote, "I think Hunter Biden should be arrested right here, right now, and go straight to jail," end quote. So Jared Moskowitz, congressman from Florida, Democrat from Florida, then suggested the panel hold a vote on hearing from Biden right now, asking for a show of hands from the people in the room on the committee, and only Democrats raised their hand. So Joe Biden's son, Hunter, walked into the hearing with his attorney, Abe Lowell, and Kevin Morris, an associate and entertainment lawyer, who's scheduled to appear before the House Judiciary Committee for a deposition next week. So Biden and attorney Lowell exited the hearing room minutes later, just as Representative Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene from Georgia was beginning to speak. And she said, "What a coward." With delivering a statement. Huh?
Mm-hmm. She yelled it out
yes.
as he was leaving.
Yeah, she yelled it out. "What a coward." With Lowell then yep. delivering a statement to reporters criticizing GOP lawmakers and defending his client. And he said Hunter Biden was and is a private citizen. Despite this, Republicans have sought to use him as a surrogate to attack his father. The House Oversight and Judiciary panels are moving to hold Hunter Biden in contempt of Congress after he failed to appear for a closed-door deposition last month as part of their impeachment inquiry into his father, President Biden. So the younger Biden has offered only to testify in a public setting. You can't really blame him, because if he got behind closed doors, the Republicans would not put it in full context and try to parse his words to make him look bad and give any excuse to impeach his father based on nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, last month he didn't appear, and he appeared, you know, to say, "Hey, I'm here. Let's talk about it publicly." You know, so mm-hmm. the younger Biden offered only to testify in a public setting and deliver a statement to the press outside of Capitol Hill rather than attend a deposition, saying that his father, quote, "was not financially involved in my business," end quote. But Republicans said in a public format with rounds of questioning cycling between members of the panel was insufficient alone for an investigation, offering a public hearing at a later date and to release the transcript of the deposition. The GOP leaders noted that initial closed-door testimony is standard in such inquiries. No, it's not. Biden's attorney, Lowell, said, quote, "The Republican chairs today then are commandeering an unprecedented resolution to hold someone in contempt who has offered to publicly answer all their proper questions. The questions,
mm-hmm.
the question there is, what are they afraid of?" End quote. You know, so
yep.
I mean, Republicans drawing at straws and everything. They don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know how to govern, and they're, you know, going on like spoiled children, not getting their own way. You know, what's your thoughts on, you know, Jim Jordan and other people, you know, carrying on this way?
It's disgusting. It's basically, they did the same thing. They didn't show up when they got subpoenaed for the January 6th hearing. They didn't go. They ignored it. And so why is it that they could ignore it, but yet they make a big deal? And you know, the other thing is that Hunter Biden has never worked in the government. He's not a government official. He's not a senator. He's not a congressman. He's not a governor.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a mayor.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. He's not a judge. He's nothing. He's never worked in the government. So what gives them the right to drag him through the coals like this? And then on top of it all, when he left the courtroom and Marjorie Taylor Greene was yelling, "Coward," you know, and they all walked outside, and the press, of course, was out there. There was a right wing from the press. He was right wing, and he basically said to him, are you high on cocaine today? You know, screamed it out. What kind of people are these people? This man, yes, he had a drug problem. People die every day from drug overdoses. And he was making fun of Hunter Biden because he had a drug problem and he's working to change his life and get better in his life. What the hell is wrong with people? In general,
it was so
inappropriate. Wrong with people?
It was so inappropriate.
It's wrong. It's wrong.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's so wrong.
Yes,
it's
yes.
sickening.
Mm-hmm. But by
like
law,
that.
That's subpoena. Listen. by law, let's appeal and give the person who's testifying a choice. You want to be closed door or open door. And Hunter Biden chose open door hearing. But, you know,
of
the GOP is so, you know, inept and stupid. They don't know the actual laws of the country, you know. And, you know, they want to, like, paint him in a corner in this closed door hearing, you know.
Yeah.
And not put everything in context.
Down his basement. I could just see it, David. They walk down these basement stairs, all these stairs, and it's real dark and it's real dreary. And they take them in this little room, and they have a little lamp up above, you know, with it shining down on them. That's what I see when I think of people. They're disgusting.
Yes, they are. It's sad, really, that people actually vote for Republicans, you know, because, you know, America deserves better. I say it almost every show. America deserves better than that. What we have now, you know, and it will come a time where people just may get sick and fed up and say, you know what, I'm not voting anymore because, you know, these politicians are for corporations, are for, you know, big business, are for rich individuals who don't pay their taxes and everything. So why should I bother? Because my vote not going to count. The Electoral College have all the power, rightly, as Elaine said. If we get rid of the Electoral College, one person, one vote, and everybody going to have a say in who the president of the United States is. You know, but they don't want to take out that system. And the Electoral College was created and based off racism. You know, if you didn't have property, if you weren't educated, you know, or if you couldn't read and write, you couldn't vote. You know, so that's the basis of the Electoral College. You know, so until we'll come into the 21st century, get rid of the Electoral College, then the same will remain where, you know, the regular, you know, Tom Strokes and Mary Jane, that way have a say fully in who gets elected president and vice president because the Electoral College have the most votes.
David, wasn't the Electoral College set up before women got their right to vote? I think women just recently celebrated their 100th year. And isn't the Constitution over 200 years old?
Yes. From the start of the Republic,
The Electoral College is really outdated because when they set that up in population, women weren't counted.
Exactly. Yes, ma'am. Yeah.
And
okay,
that's
well,
all the more reason
Mexico.
We ought to get rid of the Electoral College. Women's votes have to start counting.
We have a call coming in from New Mexico. I will take this call now. Hello, caller. You're live on air. What's cooking tonight?
Hey, I just wanted to mention that I've read repeatedly that the Senate and congressional subpoenas are at the choice of the person being subpoenaed, either a public one or a closed door one. And Hunter Biden has said from the very first one all along, he will only do this publicly because I'm sure he knows all those years of his dad being in politics that they can turn your words around and make you pretend you said this or that or make it all. And he wants it all public. And they keep blaming him for not showing up for what they want to do, but he told them from the get-go. He's not doing a closed-door meeting. And that's it's supposed to be his choice according to their rules, and they're disregarding their own rules because they want a chance to fuck with it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's true.
And if it's all on tape and it's all available for all of us to hear, they can't make him say things he didn't say.
Exactly. Because these Republicans are so dishonest, you know, that they'll just, like, mince his word up and make him look bad, you know.
Yeah, and besides the fact that they don't seem to know what they're doing, and I doubt they even know it says that. I mean, they don't know the basic rules of common courtesy, much less, you know, parliamentary procedures or any of that stuff. You know, you don't stand there hollering, you're a liar, in the middle of a State of the Union speech to a president. In previous times, they'd take you out and shoot you, as well they should now.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, listen, Carla, what do you think about Lauren Boebert moving from District 3 to District 4 in Colorado? District 4 is more red, and it's a solid
Republican
seat.
She needs a guarantee to win because she behaved like such a hoe in public. That, you know, as even though she had a thin win, she had a win last time, but she's embarrassed her people to the point where she has to go somewhere who people are just going to mark anybody with an R after their name. It's not going to, it's not going to mean anything about her. It just means that they vote Republican, period.
Yeah.
The fact that she, you know, acts like a hooker and she's grabbing people's crotches in the middle of plays and smoking and singing out loud. And she just seems to think everything's a frat party and something to want.
Yeah. So the election coming up in 2024, November, do you think if Trump is nominated, you know, God forbid he wins, you know, what's your take on it? If he wins, will we be in a constitutional crisis? Because by then he could be in prison for what he did. And it
well,
caused,
I hope he is in prison. But...
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I hope he is in prison, and there really ought to be some sort of law. I mean, I know in Chicago when Mayor Daley got reelected from in jail, apparently there aren't laws about that, but I don't know how you're expected to perform the duties of your office while you're in prison. And
right.
You know, Trump could just make everything martial law, and then he'd tell the people to let him out. If he does win, I'm going to be looking seriously hard at some other country to go live in.
I
survived 4 years of him once, and I can't imagine, you know, what little he's learned or his advisors have learned that are going to make this even worse.
Yeah, it would be dreadful for America and the world, you know, because a lot of people...
Yeah, and America would certainly never have another election while he's alive. I mean, I got no problem with him having a stroke and have one more, you know, cheeseburger, dude. But we shouldn't have to wait for that to take our country back. And one person being able to hold it hostage like that is insane. Just absolutely insane. And he plans to, and he's telling everybody, if I don't win this, you know they faked it again. Which is bullshit. He did that last time, and people fell for it. Oh, he didn't win. They must have stolen the election. He didn't win because nobody wants him to be the fucking president.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah. And he lost by 7 million of the popular vote. 7 million.
Yeah.
You know, so
and
he planted
about
a seed.
3 million and got nothing. So, yeah.
Right. Yeah. So do you think Democrats will win on a landslide for the House?
God, I hope so.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I frankly don't know at this point. I really didn't think Hillary had a shot at losing. And I was just absolutely stunned. I just kept saying, you know, asking people, just by some bizarre off chance, what if Trump wins? And they're like, oh, no way. She's way ahead. This will never happen. Damn if it didn't happen. So I'm not going to say any prediction.
I think part of the problem with that, not to interrupt, but I think part of the problem with that is that everyone just thought for sure Hillary was just going to win. They took it for granted. Maybe some people stayed home, but I don't need to vote. Hillary's going to win. And
all the polls kept saying she would, and we thought that was right.
Yep.
And then we had a lot of the Bernie people who were all pouting because he didn't get the nomination and she did. So they either voted for Trump or didn't vote. And look how well that worked out. I don't know. You never know what kind of insanity goes through the minds of some of our voters. And, you know, there's got to be a lot of it in order for him to get that
money. Electoral college is what did her. She had people.
She had the people.
She had the
vote. But electoral college goes back to slave days when Northerns had more population, but the Southerns wanted their slaves to count, but they didn't want them to be allowed to vote, which is where they came in with that 3/5. So for every 50 slaves, they got 30 more people counted. And it just, you know, it was meant to protect land holding slave owners. So, you know, the rabble of people who just worked for a living couldn't be picking presidents, which is insane.
But they didn't count women
and,
either.
Well,
they weren't allowed to vote, so, yeah. But they would count the slaves, they just couldn't vote because they were only 3/5 and not a full
human. Yeah. And women should know their place, you know. That was the idea back then, and some people have that attitude today, where women should be fearful and pregnant.
The whole thing needs to go away. I can't think of a single legitimate argument for keeping it. And that would solve a lot of problems right there.
It's going to be close this season. You know, 36 U.S. Senate seats. 36 U.S. Senate seats are up for grabs, and hopefully the Democrats can get a majority of those seats. John Tester is in.
Yeah, but we're going to do something with the Congress, because that was, you know, the House of Representatives has just screwed everything up as it is. We need both and the president to get anything done.
Definitely.
We need to think how much Obama could have done if he'd actually had a Senate and a Congress that were on his side. But he spent all his time, you know, climbing uphill.
Did have it wrong.
And Trump always said executive orders were bullshit, and so he started doing them. And now he wants everything to be that because he wants to be the dictator. That's what I say is law. And I can shoot you if I will.
Right.
Joking that he's not going to be a dictator. Well, ask him what Project 2020 is then. That's already set.
Oh, and he says on day one. But he doesn't say just on day one. He just says day one. And I think once he gets a taste of it, he's not going to give that up. And the people will let him do it, which is horrifying.
Mango Mussolini, as I call him. Yeah. You know, he speaks. Oh, my God. I don't know how. Why people vote Republican this day and age? Why? Women who vote Republican, minorities who vote Republican. Don't they know that if you're white, then you're not welcome?
A lot of it's white, but it's a tradition in their family. My dad was a Republican. Mm-hmm. My grandpa was a Republican. They don't know what the hell it means, and they don't know what anybody stands for. But they do it because my grandpa did, you know? And the fact that it's hurting them.
I think women, and like I said before, I truly believe women are going to come out in droves because of abortion rights. And some of the horrific things that happen to women that are pregnant and, you know, want an abortion and going through nightmares right now. I'm sure that there are more of them there. And so I believe for that. I truly also believe that Gen Z understands, and so do the millennials. But I think Gen Z is a generation that is, they are so anti-gun because they have grown up in schools, going to schools that have, they've had to do drills for
shooting lockdowns and all that shit, my problem was, I thought that too, until this whole Palestinian mess, and so many of them simply believe if the Palestinians want it, they should get it, and no regard for what the... the Zionists, but the Jewish population has gone through in the course of our world history.
What I think about that is that they're not educated properly.
They don't know the whole history.
I will not ever say that I know the history, so I can't really speak upon it, but I can say that, you know, they kind of took, for some reason, they just took the fact that Israel was just, well, Israel did, though. They did bomb the crap out of them, and they still are. And so they saw them as underdogs. That's what they saw. They see them as the underdogs, and that's why it is the way that it is right now. And so if someone would just explain the history between Israel you know, and Gaza Strip and explain the history, maybe we could get a concession and there would,
maybe
would be
take a look at a world map and look at how small Israel is compared to all the North African and Middle Eastern countries full of Muslims who have all vowed to wipe them off the face of the earth. How you wouldn't kind of feel like an underdog, and you might overreact like hell when they bomb you for no particular good reason.
No, I mean, I get that. I'm just saying that.
Yeah, I mean, for 3,000 years they've been thrown out of this country and that country and this country and that country, and they haven't had a homeland of their own until 1948, and goddamn, they're going to go down fighting. And I can't say that I blame them.
Yeah.
When you're surrounded by
a complicated issue, that
people.
Palestinian versus Israel thing.
It is.
Go ahead, sorry.
That's the point that I'm trying to make. It is so complicated that these young people don't understand. Most of us don't understand the issues between them. Most of us don't.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've never really paid attention. I'll be honest. I mean, I know the strikes, but I've never sat down and researched it or read about it because it didn't interfere with my life because I'm here. So
did you ever see the movie Exodus?
Well, just know the history. They don't understand. And someone started to say the Palestinians are basically the underdogs, and that's what it's all about. And
there are there so many billions more of them.
Social media is, it took over. Just took it over. And that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you should see the movie
Exodus,
seriously. Because it's about how after World War II, and they put all these Jewish people on these ships to go settle somewhere else. And all the countries, including the United States of America, who would not let them land, didn't allow them to be here. Just like we did with Syria when they were being bombed shit out of them by Russia, and we didn't seem to care because they didn't have cute little blonde kids to put in the commercials. But they just pushed them back out to sea. Said, nope, not here.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
How do you do that? You're on a ship. You're out of supplies. You're out of food. You're out of funds. And no one will let you land anywhere. How do you live?
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's what they went through.
Yeah.
And we did our own horse a lot, but we were one of them. But good night.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thanks for calling in, Lynn, from New Mexico. We really appreciate it. Yes, ma'am. Breaking news, U.S. and British military launch massive retaliatory strike against Iran-backed Houthis in Yemen. According to the Associated Press, United States and Britain militaries bombed more than a dozen sites used by Iranian-backed Houthis in Yemen on Thursday, today, in a massive retaliatory strike using warship and submarine-launched Tomahawk missiles and fighter jets, U.S. officials said. The military targeted targets include air defense and coastal radar sites, drone and missile storage and launching locations. So President Joe Biden said the strikes were meant to demonstrate the United States and its allies will not tolerate the militant group's ceaseless attack on the Red Sea. And he said that they only made the move after attempts at diplomatic negotiations and careful deliberation. So according to President Biden, quote, these strikes are in a direct response to unprecedented Houthi attacks against international maritime vessels in the Red Sea, including the use of anti-ship ballistic missiles for the first time in history. The president noted that the attacks endangered U.S. personnel and civilians, Marines, and jeopardized trade, and he added, I will not hesitate to direct further measures to protect our people and the free flow of international commerce as necessary. So Yemen capital is Sana'a, and Associated Press journalists heard four explosions early Friday, and two residents of Hadiya said that they heard five strong explosions hitting the western port area of the city, which lies in the Red Sea and is the largest port city controlled by the Houthis. Eyewitnesses who spoke with the AP also said they saw strikes in Taiz and Damar, south of Sana'a, the capital. Yes, man. So I guess Iran, you know, backing these Houthis, who are also Muslims, that try to invade international waters, you know, and so the United States and Britain, their militaries had a joint operation in quelling such upheavals in the Red Sea. What do you think about this, Laurie and Elaine? You know?
Not good.
That's the only thing I can think of.
What,
Delaine? I said that's the only
thing
I can think of.
No, I agree. But we need our ships to be able to go through the Red Sea so they can bring, you know, supplies. They need to do that. So, and this is not the first time that they have interfered with it. They've been doing that from the beginning. So, let's talk about is it Houthi, David? H-O-U-T-H?
Yeah, Houthi.
Okay, let's talk about who they are for a moment. Because I'll be honest, I really don't know anything about them. And I just sent you a little clip there. Do you see it? Yep, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, who are the Houthi? Yeah.
Rebels.
Okay, so basically, they declared the support for Hamas. And they say they will target any ships traveling to Israel. And it's not clear that all the ships attacked were actually headed to Israel. So last November, they seized what they said was an Israeli cargo ship. They since have attacked several commercial vessels with drones and ballistic missiles. And major shipping firms, including Mediterranean Shipping Company, Maersk, Hapag-Lloyd, and the oil company BP, have all said they're diverting vessels away from the Red Sea. So Washington has accused Iran of being deeply involved in planning operations against commercial vessels in the Red Sea. You know, they have a problem with pirates in that area. And who are the Houthi rebels? The Houthis are an armed group of a subsect of Yemen's Shia Muslim minority, the Zaydis. They take their names from the movement's founder, Hussein al-Houthi. And the group was formed in the 1990s to combat what they saw as a corruption of then-President Ali Abdul Salah, or Saleh. President Saleh, backed by the Saudi Arabian military, tried to eliminate the Houthi rebels in 2003, but the Houthi repelled them both. So the Houthi rebels have been fighting a civil war since 2014 against Yemeni's government. The government has been backed against the Houthis by a coalition of Arab countries led by Saudi Arabia and United Arab Emirates. By the start of 2022, the war has caused an estimated 377,000 deaths, displaced of 4 million people, according to the United Nations, and Houthis declared themselves to be part of the Iran-led axis of resistance against Israel, the United States, and a wider West, along with Hamas and Hezbollah. So the link up with Hamas and Hezbollah and Iran backing them financially, so there lies a problem. And they're, you know, they're backed by Hezbollah, which is in Lebanon, and the Houthi rebels model themselves on the Shia armed group Hezbollah from Lebanon. So Hezbollah has been providing them with extensive military expertise and training since 2014, according to U.S. Research Institute, the Combating Terrorism Center. And the Houthis also consider Iran as an ally because Saudi Arabia is their common enemy. Because Iran is majority Shia, and Saudi Arabia is Sunni Muslim. And so there's, like, you know, just like Christianity, you have Pentecost, you have Anglican, you have Methodist. So just like the Muslim, they have Shia Muslims, and you have the Shia and, oh, Lord, I just said it. Oh, this is so goddamn complicated. Shia Muslim.
I know.
And you have, oh, Lord. Yeah. But you know what I mean. You know, different sects in Islam. You know, so those people hate each other.
Yeah, it's just, you know, they're just a terrorist group, is from what I understand, from what, you know, we just read here. They're just a terrorist group. And, you know, they're trying to attack, you know, these ships that are, you know, that are, they're meant for global trade. You know, that's what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing their job. So, yeah, I just hope it doesn't escalate. That's all I hope for, you know. So that's all. Wow.
Yeah,
so
and Iran, since 2014, has been supplying arms to these Hafiz, whatever the goddamn name is, who knows.
Yeah.
I can't pronounce
Hafiz.
Yeah.
H-O-U-T-H-I.
Yeah, so the world is on fire.
Yeah. Sort of. That's, you know, sort of. It seems like it. It's... And, you know, in saying that, you know, President Biden, if you think about it for a moment, he has got so much on his plate that he needs two plates, at least. Two plates are probably not enough. Plus, he has a presidential campaign trying to, you know, push forward. I mean, this man, and he's getting up there in age, and I don't think that he's senile. I think that he's intelligent. He still rides a bike. He can still walk. I mean, he can still talk. He still sounds passionate when he does his speeches. There are some days where he's more quiet in his tone, but that's okay, too. So, you know, but when you hear the Orange Monster, he's talking off the rails. He doesn't even make sense anymore when he talks, and he's sweaty. You know, his makeup is just all crumbly. I mean, it's disgusting. You know, and people don't see the difference. How can you not see the difference and hear the difference when they talk? One's intelligent and one is stupid. How else can you put it?
You heard about that speech that Donald Trump made about magnets and water in Iowa. What the hell was that? I'm still trying to, you know, like...
I don't know.
Yeah, magnets don't work in water, according to him. What does that have anything to do with anything?
Nothing. It's word salad. It makes no sense. What I mean, is he on drugs? Is he taking, I don't know what, you know? I don't know. I have no idea, but it's crazy.
How about the people that believe him?
That's what I'm trying to say. It's scary as hell because there are people that hang on his every word. You know, I mean, remember the virus, COVID? I mean, he was crazy, you know, injecting bleach and you know, it's not that bad. And I mean, come on.
Oh, and he wanted to use a nuclear bomb on a hurricane in Florida. Remember that too?
Yeah.
I thought that was a joke, but it was really true. And that the whole...
Yeah, it's scary. It's freaking scary.
Yeah, the windmills are killing all the birds, and yet we have an area in Michigan that's you go down the expressway and all you see is windmills, and they're slowly turning around, and he claims that the noise is unbearable. Oh, I've never heard them. In fact, I stood at the base of one. I was awed at how big it is.
Yeah,
I mean, they are monstrous big.
Now
I'm starting to sound like him. Good Lord.
Right, and according to Trump, windmills cause cancer. Yeah, so there's that. Oh, my God. We cannot allow this man to be in the White House anymore. So a special hello and a shout-out to Christine Hines. Christine Hines, she's running for the Macomb County Prosecutor's Office. She's a Democrat, and she's been on our show in a couple of weeks' time, so hopefully you can tune in for that and call in and ask, you know, relevant questions and what have you. She'll be the first woman, if elected, to that post. And the gentleman who is holding the seat and running for re-election, I'm just going to call him what I'm saying. He's a pig. He's disgusting. And, you know, he's a sexist. He is a racist. He is like Donald Trump, basically, but on a local or statewide level.
He is a Trumper.
Yeah, he's a Trumper. So there it is. You know, this guy's disgusting. He was the guy who said, you know, when a news reporter was there for high school boys, you know.
Go ahead, David.
Yeah, go ahead,
Lori.
No, go ahead.
It was at Notre Dame, and it's an all boys school. You know, it's a high school, actually. So young men. And he was there doing a speech, and there was a reporter there. And basically he told the boys, boy, wouldn't you like to date her? And, I mean, it embarrassed her to no end. And that was so sexist. It was terrible. I mean, you know, she fired a blanket to him. And I don't blame her, you know. I don't know if you remember, Lane. Do you remember that?
I also recently read something in one of the local papers that three-quarters of the females that have been at the Macomb County Prosecuting Attorney's Office for years, some of them as much as 20 years, have all quit. He is notorious for being pushy on women.
Wow.
I'm going to be very careful. It's alleged. He attacks women. Alleged.
Well, there are quite a few lawsuits out against him, so.
Quite a few seasoned workers that have been there through many, many administrations. And all of a sudden he gets in and they're quitting.
Yep. Terrible.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hopefully, the truth will come out during the election.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
Christina Hines is going to run against him. She's going to be on her show. And so we hope to, you know, help her as well.
Because,
you know, McCown needs a decent prosecutor, not him.
Yeah, for real. People like him have to go, you know. There's no space in this country or this world to, like sexual assault women or talk down to them in a disparaging manner like he did at Notre Dame, you know. Yeah, it's disgusting. It's disgraceful. You're a public figure. Act accordingly, you know.
Yes, for sure.
And a special shout out to Brian Jay and also Carol Marlinga. Carol Marlinga is running for the Democratic nomination for the U.S. Congress.
For sure. They haven't found anybody else.
Well, some other people running. So, some other people running in the primary.
Well, he's not getting my vote. He is not getting my vote. I'm sorry. I'm going to be a one-issue person. He is not getting my vote. Because if push comes to shove and we end up with a national ban on abortion, he will side with them. He has proven it. He has proven it with what he has said to Right to Life. I am not going to back him. I am not even going to even think about telling anybody to vote for him. Everybody is on their own when it comes to Carol Marlinga.
Yeah. So, you know,
there are other people running.
There's several people that are.
Oh, good.
That's what we were told, but they haven't given names yet. So John McCain and Lisa, Lisa McClain.
John James.
And James need to go. They need to go, both of them.
Yeah.
You know, they've got District 9 and 10 right now, and bad news. So that's what, you know, that's what's happening. So we'll see what it is. And I understand where you're coming from, Elaine, as far as that goes, because I agree. I've never heard him say he's pro-choice or anti-choice. I've never had that discussion with him. But
Yeah, because I had him on the show the last time he ran, and, you know, I...
Yeah, give a legalese answer to the question that what the women of Michigan have to do is make sure that they vote for it. It's on the ballot. He did not come out and openly say that a women have a right to their body. He did not.
Yeah.
And then I read what he agreed with when it came to the pro-life people, and he agreed with the Supreme Court judges that just overturned Roe versus Wade. Now, how can I trust him? I'm sorry, I can't.
I don't think that – I don't remember asking him about
that wasn't
abortion.
That big of an issue then. But now that women who want children, who would
have
dearly love to carry the fetus to term so it is a baby, and have to make a choice between life and death or carry a dead fetus, are now in this situation with the anti-abortion groups. There is no way he's getting a pass from me. This is my opinion. There is no way he's getting a pass from me.
And, you know, and chances are that he, you know, won't be the nominee. So, but I'm just saying, when he was on the show, we did not have that discussion. Not that I remember. I would remember if we did, definitely.
So
we didn't ask, I guess. It never came up. There was one thing that didn't come up.
So if he's on the show again, you'll definitely ask him that question. Is he pro-life or pro-choice? You know, if he was a member of Congress, you know, would he vote to reinstate Roe versus Wade? That's, you know, a hot-button issue for women's rights, you know.
Yeah, but we've had liars before. He has been endorsed by Right to Life more than once.
Well, that's what I mean,
we got three of them sitting on the Supreme Court now that are liars.
Yeah, we'll get your point and everything. You have you do have a valid point. Well, you know, if and when he's a nominee, you just ask him point blank, are you pro-choice or anti-choice, you know? Yeah. Okay, so we have a little under 30 minutes left. This is Kitchen Politics 123. The number to call in, 515-605-9802. And we do have a call coming in. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show. What's cooking?
Not much. This is Naj.
Naj, what's up, man? In Atlanta, Georgia. Welcome.
Oh, man, sitting here drinking a Bud Light, listening to y'all.
Okay. That's good.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if y'all are aware. Indeed, you know, you got to do that. I don't know if y'all are aware, but there's a big demonstration in front of the White House right now.
Really?
The strikes. Yeah, about the missile strikes that took place today. Journalist Abby Martin was arrested. Looks like she's out now. She's tweeting about it. But, yeah, there's a big demonstration in front of the White House. And... at a certain point, this becomes this thing where it's like, no matter what, Netanyahu, if he's able to hold on, is going to support Trump because they know if they get Trump in there, they get a blank check to do whatever the hell they want.
Right.
So I still don't understand the Biden administration's position on this where they can clearly make a demarcation and say, look, this is a partner of ours, but we do not support all activities that they engage in. And kind of make a separation here. That would be used for Biden going forward. I don't understand this route that they're taking.
And, you know, Blinken, he's been there for, what, a week or so? He's been all over the region, all over the region.
Yep.
And I don't know, you know, exactly what came of it, but, you know, he's been here, he's been there, he's been in Egypt, he's been all over. He's been, you know, everywhere around that region. And I don't know what his... you know, what the mission is. And you're right. President Biden has to come out, and I think that he has to give Israel a choice. He really does, because he's up for re-election. And it's important. I'm sorry. People don't like war, period. You know?
Yeah, yeah. And when we look at him and any of his negatives, the people who bring up his age, even though you know, Trump is similar in age and everything else, the mm-hmm. things that they can really attack are going to be this military engagement in Israel, and they're going to mm-hmm. attack the border. We know those are the two things they're going to do. Now, the border stuff, as we know, when the Dems tried to fund it, the Republicans refused because they'd rather use it as a political chip, football to throw around.
Mm-hmm.
But this one, this is the one thing he actually has control over. Hell, Ronald Reagan, my God, at a certain point made a phone call to Israel and told them to stop at a certain point,
mm-hmm.
You know, when things were going on militarily.
Mm-hmm.
This is something he can easily do and really ensure to win, because we expect Republicans to do terrible things. The Dems are who are we going to hold accountable for things, though, that happen. So I don't know, man. I'm just watching this tonight. This is really a bad thing, because he has so much of the young folk, not only with him and his administration, but the amount of creativity, like all the TikToks they were making, the anti, you know, red pill, anti-MAGA TikToks and all that stuff those young folks are making. You don't want to lose that energy, you know?
No.
I agree.
He has to do something about it. He truly does. I've been thinking about that as well. I mean, he's got to. There's just no getting around it. You know, he's got to tell what's his face over there.
Netanyahu.
Yeah. Mr. Yahoo is what I call him. You know, they have to tell him, you know, we can't support this anymore. We just can't. You have to stop. Or we're out. I mean, he's got an election.
Right.
I didn't know they were protesting. Wow.
Hey, Samaz, quick question. In Atlanta, the prosecutor there going after Trump for the RICO charges and everything, is it an open and shut case, you think? Do you think she's going to get him, Fani Willis, you know, and put him behind bars for RICO violations?
Yeah, see, let me put it in these terms. She has some bad stuff on her docket, period. There was a teacher cheating scandal. She was involved in that. They've got this rumor about her having a romantic relationship with somebody whose career she furthered. That's a rumor that's going out there. But ultimately, think about it. We're using Republican framing. The issue is not Fannie Willis versus Donald Trump. It's the state of Georgia versus Donald Trump about the things he does. If Fannie has to recuse herself and leave or is put out in disgrace, the second chair of that legal team takes over and business continues, because he made the phone calls himself. We heard the recording. We saw this man use the power of the office to try to intimidate, a lesser government official. So that's the main thing to think about. So even if Fannie, you know, may be compromised and may end up not seeing the end of this thing, just remember, this is still about what he did in the state of Georgia. And those phone calls he made, not to mention the fake electors, which is not talked about nowhere near enough. But, yeah, that's how I would say it. But, yeah, there's a lot about Fannie Willis that doesn't appear to be the greatest thing. But, again, this is that Trumpian ideal of superstars and everything else. Like, why is he talking about Letitia James and all of these people as if this is a personal battle between – no, these are legal battles. Because you stepped over the line time and time and time again, and then you try to make it into a personality clash, you know, on the front steps of the courthouse. So
what really pissed me off, Naz, is that, you know, time and time again, he, you know, like threatens people and, you know, try to bully people and everything, and there's no consequences. You know, not even a night in jail to say, hey, calm your roars, you know. We're not waiting to this today, Trumpy. You know, you behave and be a good boy. But no, you know, he does what he does and anything he does. And, you know, there's no filter with Donald Trump. And he doesn't suffer any consequences. That's why people are annoyed. They're saying, oh, there's a two-tier justice system where an ex-president like him can get away with anything because he's filthy, rotten, rich. And if it was a Joe Schmo, then they'd be in jail. You know?
Did you see the argument the judge laid out? They laid out the argument. They said, look, if you're going to say someone being president means they have immunity from everything, what would stop a president from sending SEAL Team 6 against his political opponents and eliminating them and then moving forward, if that's the case? And, of course, they wouldn't, you know, agree to that, so it kind of showed the flaw in their argument. But then the other part with 45, I think his legal team, on you know, purposefully made sure that they didn't get back to that judge as far as for him to have to, you know, get up there on the stand, because they know if they asked him, he would have told them, yeah, I want to get on the stand, but that would only hurt him. So I think even his legal team is doing what they can to try to stop him from getting in front of a microphone, because, you know, man gets up there and just starts admitting the crimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't wait for this thing to be over. I'm, like, fatigued. I'm sick of this man.
Yeah, no. You ain't the only one. But, yeah, that's all I got, man. I just wanted to call in and speak to you.
Yeah, man. Thank you so much for calling in, Naz. Atlanta, Georgia. That was Naz calling in. Yeah, man. Yeah. Regular caller, long-time listener and everything. And we're on Sundays, Mondays, and Thursdays, 9:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Mountain Time. That's New Mexico time and everything. You know, just chat about the issues of the day. Sometime we'll have open mic night where any topic is up for discussion. It don't necessarily have to be about U.S. politics. It could be about world events or pop culture or music, you know. Speaking of music, Taylor Swift, you know, the right-wingers are having a fit.
Oh, yeah.
A stroke over, over Taylor Swift. She means many good things, you know. And Ted Nugent recently attacked her character and attacked her music, saying that, you know, she's not a good singer and what have you. Yeah, she's talentless. Who's Ted Nugent to say anyone is talentless? He's a one-hit wonder. He should have many seats.
Yeah. He's appalling. He's a Trump.
Well, the girl he wanted to marry, he couldn't marry her because there was a 30-year difference, so he adopted her. So, he better not throw too many stones. Because there's people ready to start throwing stones back. I think a lot of progressives have learned. You just don't go low anymore. You have a stone hurled, you pick up a bigger one and throw it back.
Wow.
Wait. So go back to this thing where he married this girl because she was underage, so now he's a stepdaughter, and he's having relations with her.
No.
Back in the day,
he wanted to marry a young girl. She was 30 years his junior, and he couldn't marry her because she was so young. So he put in for an adoption, and he adopted her. In other words, he didn't let go of his girl. What he did with her, well, I guess we just have to use our imagination, don't we?
Yeah. Oh, that's so sad. Well, oh,
yes,
isn't that disgusting?
Yes,
and that can be verified.
Yeah. Wow, I never. I knew it was creepy, but I didn't know it was that creepy. That's pretty creepy.
Well,
you know, he just better shut his mouth. He's going to hurl stones. Well, there's a lot of people are going to hurl some big ones back at him.
Yeah, no kidding.
Wow. Yes, man.
So Carrie Lake and Ruben Gallego, he's a Democrat, are neck-to-neck. New poll in Arizona for the 2024 Senate matchup. So how can that in Arizona? The survey by Democratic-leaning firm Public Policy Polling released Wednesday showed registered voters in Arizona are split when asked to pick between Lake and Gallego in a hypothetical matchup for the U.S. Senate seat, with 45% supporting Gallego and 46% supporting Lake. 10% said they were not sure. Well, that 10% better do some research, because Carrie Lake is bad news.
Yeah, she's a whack job, basically.
Yeah. I think
Gallego will win that seat because she pissed off so many people after that governor's race. And she wasn't, what's the word I'm looking for? She wasn't diplomatic. You know, everybody knows that when you go through the court system, the court denies you. You know, the respectable thing to do is, you know, concede. But no, she's a Trumper,
yeah.
So, you know, that's wishful thinking on my part. So I think Gallego is outraising her 10-1, if I remember correctly. He's been a good congressman for his district in Arizona. He's well-liked by Democrats and normal establishment Republicans and independents. So when push comes to shove, people want to remember what Carrie Lake said and what she did after the gubernatorial race between she and Katie Hobbs. And how she attacked, she just attacked the whole democratic process, the court system.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not taking responsibility. You know, the buck didn't stop with her. Basically, she's Trump with a vagina. You know, so
oh, yeah.
You know, nobody will take her seriously in final analysis. It's not going to be close.
Yeah.
I feel Gallego, since he's outraising her 10-1, he's going to win. You know, not necessarily a landslide, but you know, a comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
she's
done.
She's
not. She's close.
Yeah.
No, nobody
oh,
can take her seriously anymore. Mm-hmm.
No, I know that. But I'm just saying she's not said that she's planning to run for re-election. So, but she might at the, you know, she might.
Well, she's an independent senator now, and a lot of corporations gave her money. You know, so money talk and everything else walk in politics. Money is the milk of all, you know, things in politics. You know, so, you know, it depends on how much money she raised. She can give Gallego a run for her money. But my fear is that her running as an independent, some Democrats still like her. For whatever reason, I don't know. Only God knows why they still like her. After she betrayed you know, Democrats and everything, all of a sudden Republicans with Manchin and voting with Republicans. So she was never a Democrat, you know, so she made a good vote between Gallego and herself, giving Carrie Lake a chance to be U.S. Senator. And who knows, maybe Trump will pick her as a running mate. Who knows? Or Nikki Haley.
He did say he already has somebody in mind, but he did not say who. He did not said who.
Yeah.
So.
God, imagine Taylor Greene
is
on the short list. My God, imagine if Trump is president and he croaks, eat a sandwich and choke on it and die. Imagine Marjorie Taylor Greene being president of the United States. Worse than Sarah Palin.
No.
that's a shudder to think, President Marjorie Taylor Greene.
No, we can't even think about that. Don't go there. It makes my stomach upset. Don't go.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
she's our Petri dish. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's oh.
Yeah.
That's that.
And I'm hoping that in Colorado District 4, where Lauren Boebert the clown, goes to run, she's in a primary now. She may win to run in that election. Hopefully, the people, even though it's a red district, wake up and see what an embarrassment she is to the whole state of Colorado. Mm-hmm. And, you know, vote for a Democrat because nobody can be that dense. You've seen how, what stupid things she's done and said, Lauren Boebert, and she's having all these family problems. Remember, she ran as a family values person. She's getting a divorce.
Yep.
Her family life is a shambles. So why would you vote for a person who says one thing and does another thing? Added to which, she came in as one of the poorest people in Congress, she and Marjorie Taylor Greene, and now they're filthy rotten rich in a space of two terms, two election cycles.
Yep.
How does that work out? Why? What if I ask these questions?
I don't know. We kind of, right? So. Well, over the weekend, I'm sending it to you right now. She met her, I don't know if they're divorced. she's under active.
Yeah, they're divorced.
Active investigation related to an alleged incident in Colorado. Authorities confirmed to CBS on Sunday. The Daily Beast reported Sunday that the Colorado Republican is the subject of an investigation into an alleged physical altercation with her husband, which the outlet said occurred at a restaurant in Boebert District on Saturday. The Silt Police Mike Kite confirmed to CBS News that an active investigation was underway, though no further information was provided. So her and her husband must have had a little argument in there, and he said that he punched her in the face, that she punched him in the face, I should say. And then she went on, and I quote, "I didn't punch Jason in the face, and no one was arrested. I will be consulting with my lawyer about the false claims he made against me and evaluate all my legal options."
Yeah, he was arrested today, I'm hearing.
Jason
Boebert was arrested today. Yes, yes.
Her husband was? For what?
Yes. For allegedly hitting her, you know, or dragging her.
Hmm.
Yeah, well, you know, he got arrested for that, so, you know.
Wow. That's interesting.
Yeah.
What a crew. I mean, he's got so much drama.
This is Jerry Springer.
You know.
Right? This is Jerry Springer and acid, basically.
Pardon?
Yeah, watching this whole shit show with Lauren Boebert and her family, it's like Jerry Springer and acid, basically. It's a real shit show.
Oh, I have it right here. I see it. It says here, Jason Boebert was arrested Tuesday on misdemeanor charges stemming from Saturday's incident in the rural Colorado town of. He allegedly refused to cooperate with police after calling 911 to report domestic violence, and then had to be forcibly removed, police said. Well, so he's just as crazy as her. So they kind of belong together, right?
Yeah, pretty much. But just leave America out there. Leave District 3 or 4, wherever you goddamn running. Leave them out there. Because, you know, people deserve better representatives in Congress.
No.
And, you know, consider that she took her GED 3 times and failed it. You know, I'm thinking here that, the fourth time she came, they'll probably say, oh, you know, what the hell? You've been here 3 times already. Yep. Just take them goals. You know, that's how dumb this woman is. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, Marjorie Taylor Greene is dumb, but at least Marjorie Taylor Greene is dangerous, you know? But this woman, given any sort of power or influence, she's really dumb. It's scary. It's a scary type of dumb, you know? And hopefully the people are District 4, where she's running now, if she's a nominee, I hope that, you know, they don't vote for her, vote for the Democrat, and just get her out of Congress, because she made her money as a congresswoman, after going in there dirt poor, you know, so the people deserve much, much better than, you know, Bobo the Clown. That's my take. Okay, well, 5 minutes left. Final words. Elaine, what do you think, you know, will come out? How's it going to pan out with the discussion about keeping the government open? Do you think that some deal is going to be made? I've heard a government shutdown. What do you think is coming up in the upcoming weeks politically?
I think I addressed that at the beginning of the show. I think that Johnson is going to be pulling some pretty nasty rabbits out of his hat. I think he's going to we're going to come close to a shutdown, and he's going to pull the same thing that Tuberville did. He's going to what the heck is the term? I'm looking for it on my paper. I can't find it right now. Anyways, I think we're going to have trouble with the budget.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Lori,
probably so. Yes.
Lori, with this Michigan Republican Party in disarray, you have two different Republican parties of Michigan.
Yes.
You know,
I wanted to talk about that tonight, and it got away from me. Yeah. We can talk about that on Sunday. Yeah, there's a clown show going on in Michigan with the Republican Party right now. There are two women that claim. It's just ridiculous.
The Republican Party of Michigan.
Yeah, two of them. Yes, that are claiming. And Rachel had a segment about it, and there are two websites as well. Two Republican for the GOP, there's two websites, supposedly. I went to look for the second one. I think they took one down, so I don't know what's going on with them. But they're fighting.
Oh,
so
wow.
Let them each other. Who cares? You know?
Right. And there's fisticuffs and, you know, there are some bar and I hear that, you know, somebody recording them, like, shoving each other children.
They have been. There was two women that went after each other, and they slapped each other across the face, and it was a big, you know, big problem. It was just it's just been an ongoing fight amongst the Republican Party in Michigan. Like I said, let them kill each other, you know. We don't need them. It's ridiculous.
Indeed. And as Nurse said earlier when he called in from Atlanta, Georgia, that, you know, people are demonstrating in the front of the White House because of what's happening. Hopefully they're safe. People, you know, I don't know. Would they rather have, Trump in there or a stupid Republican or Joe Biden? Joe Biden cannot be perfect. No politician is perfect, you know?
No.
So let's just hope good sense prevails and nobody gets hurt seriously. I mean, it's the First Amendment right, you know, speech, freedom to protest and everything. Just be safe out there. And with that, we'll thank everybody for listening to Kitchen Pockets 1, 2, 3 tonight, Thursday, January 11th, 2024. The topic, Season 6, Episode 24, Elect GOP Clowns, Expect a Circus. We hope to see you again Sunday, same time, same place, 9:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Until then, thank you, Elaine. Thank you, Naz. Thank you, Lynn in New Mexico for calling. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico. Good night, Laurie.
Good night, David. And we'll see you all on Sunday. Be safe and stay warm. Good night, all.
And we'll leave you now with Fought Back, the very first ad of the Joe Biden 2024 re-election campaign. Good night and good luck.
Good night.
This is the Great Depression, but America fought back. Today, unemployment was the worst pandemic in 100 years. The worst economic crisis since the Great Depression, but America fought back. Today, unemployment is at record lows. Our economy leading the world. Joe Biden passed historic laws to rebuild the country, but he knows it's the American people who are the heroes of this story.
America is back. We've shown each other in the world that there's no quit in America. There's simply no quit in America.
In small towns and big cities, we're coming back stronger than ever. Manufacturing jobs are coming home. High-speed computer chips are getting made right here. America is leading the world in clean energy. There are some who say America is failing. Not Joe Biden. He believes our best days are ahead because he believes in the American people.
Those who bet against America are learning how wrong they are. It's never, ever been a good bet to bet against America. Never.
I'm Joe Biden, and I approve this message. I'm going to go to the hospital.
Thank you.